and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series called KBOO at the Clinton, hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll screen the film Undocumented on Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m. Undocumented is a documentary about a 13-year-old who travels from Colombia to join his parents in America and his life becoming a surgeon. It is a story of struggle, loss, danger, courage, and love. Again, that's a film screening of Undocumented, Thursday, August 9th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10 o'clock. Time for Flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints, the Israeli government attacks and captures a boat belonging to a peace flotilla bound for Palestine. Activists are calling it a military attack and kidnapping, which are both unlawful, yes, under the International Convention of the Law of the Sea. Then we continue our drumbeat coverage of Trump's enforcement of immigration law and the plight of families caught in his terrible net. I'm Dennis Bernstein with senior producer Kevin Pina. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, in the studio with Kevin Pina. Joining us now is somebody who knows a great deal about what's going on with the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. That's Anne Wright. Anne Wright is a retired U.S. Army Reserve colonel, a 29-year veteran of the Army and Army Reserves, and one of the three State Department officials to publicly resign in protest of the March 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. Welcome back, Anne Wright, to Flashpoints. I know that you were on the boat, actually, until it made its final turn towards Gaza. I know you work very closely with the coalition. They were attacked today. Two of the Israelis on board, I believe, were released. The rest are being held hostage. Could you give us as much information on this, what happened today, as possible?
Surely. Actually, it was yesterday that the Israeli forces actually attacked the Al Auda, Norwegian fishing trawler that we had converted into a passenger boat, and that had been on a 75-day trip from Scandinavia, starting out in mid-May and making 14 stops along the Atlantic coast of Europe and then into the Mediterranean. I was with it from Sardinia up to Corsica, then over to Naples, then to Palermo, and then waved goodbye to it as it took off for Gaza. I was on the last flotilla that we had, women's boat to Gaza back in 2016, and I'll tell you, to have to wave goodbye from the shore rather than be on it, it was quite a moment. But the passengers and crew, 22 people, were on that last leg, which was 1,000 miles between Sicily all the way down to 49 miles off Gaza when the Israeli occupation forces stormed the ship, essentially, stopping it in international waters again. All of the flotillas have been stopped in international waters and essentially hijacking a boat, arresting the people on board with quite a bit of violence, of tasering people, hitting people. It was not a nonviolent entry onto the ships. They came aboard and injured several people of our crew and passengers. They were taken from the spot that they were hijacked over to the Ashdod Israel Harbor, and then processed there, and then all of them but the two Israelis, Yonatan Shapiro, which is a fellow known to many, many people in the United States because he's spoken all over our country as a part of what's called Breaking the Silence, of former Israeli military folks who say that what the Israeli military is doing to Palestinians is wrong, and they speak out publicly about it. So Yonatan and Zohar Chamberlain, who is on the Freedom Flotilla Coalition Steering Committee, from she's living in Spain now, as both Israeli citizens, were detained and then released through a police station. And it's through them that we're getting most of the information about what happened to the crew and passengers on Al-Ada.
Would you remind people what exactly the flotilla is about and why armed Israeli forces, masked, we should say, by the way, they took the boat with masks on, why they would want to mask up and treat people who are just trying to bring survival food and supplies to those who need it?
Well, essentially, what the whole purpose of the flotilla is to bring international attention to the illegal Israeli blockade of Gaza. And we're choosing to bring attention to the naval blockade, but there is a land blockade also. Two sides of Israel, Israel borders two sides of Gaza by land and have a blockade there. And then on the southern border is the border with Egypt, which is blockaded. So essentially the people, the 2 million people that are in Gaza, are part of what's called the open-air prison. A prison that has diminishing water supplies. Over 95% of the water is deemed unpotable. It is not undrinkable. The sewage systems don't work because the Israelis bomb them every, you know, very frequently, and then won't let the repair parts in. You have bombings that go on every day, assassinations that are going on every day, and over the last since March with the every Friday having the Great Return March, where thousands, tens of thousands of people in Gaza are going toward the border fence with Israel to say, we are human beings and what you are doing to us is wrong. And the Israeli snipers have killed over 140 people. The Israeli government says, yes, we know who we kill. We know specifically. We kill. We aim to kill. And the assassinations that are done by these snipers and the purposeful maiming of other people, where over 16,000 people in Gaza have been injured or wounded, and the wounds are specifically targeting things like their knees, blowing out knees, purposely maiming people for the rest of their lives. So the brutality that the Israelis have wreaked upon the Palestinians is the reason that we're doing the flotilla, to bring international attention to this little tiny little place, 25 miles wide, 5 miles wide. We're bringing attention to what the Israelis are doing to the people of Gaza.
And this is Senior Producer Kevin Pina, along with Dennis Bernstein, here in our studios in Berkeley, California. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of our guest, Ann Wright. We're talking about the Freedom Flotilla Coalition and one of their boats that was basically attacked and members kidnapped and arrested by the Israeli occupation forces. Well, Ann, you know, somebody who doesn't know that much about Israel and about the relationship with Palestine, and they hear the level of violence that you're describing, assassination campaigns, as you said, targeted assassinations, the brutality that the Israeli army is meting upon the Palestinian people. Why would Israel do that?
Well, if you listen to every prime minister the state of Israel has ever had, each one of them is recorded by saying that we want all the land. We are going to continue to press the Palestinians to get out of Palestine until none of them are left. And what they're doing to the people in Gaza is just putting the big squeeze on them. making life so unbearable that by the year 2020, the World Health Organization has said that the conditions in Gaza will make it unlivable. And that's because of the Israelis. The Israelis saying this is one way we can squeeze them.
So it's state policy, you're saying. It's state policy.
State policy. Yeah, the state policy about 8 years ago was we'll put everybody on Gaza on a diet. And they restricted the types of food that could be brought into Gaza. You know, every single thing that comes into Gaza comes through Israel. And the Israelis have them around the neck. They can put them on a diet. They can mow the grass, as they say, mowing the grass, killing as many as they want to with impunity. The United States of America never says boo about the murder, execution, assassinations of all of these Palestinians. And of course, there are outbursts from the Palestinians when you're faced with such, the largest, strongest military in the Middle East is really right there in Israel. And Israel using Gaza as a testing bed for its weapons and for American weapons. It's a testing bed. It is where they try out different types of weapons and different types of strategies. And the United States government gives them the largest aid program that the U.S. has for the whole world is given to Israel. Israel is not a developing country. It's well developed over the many years of enormous aid that the United States has given to it. It has a remarkably modern technology projects on weaponry in particular. They export weapons all over the world, and yet the United States continues to give them over $4 billion a year.
You're a veteran of the Army and the Army Reserves, and it's important to remind people that you're one of only three State Department officials that publicly resigned in protest of the March 2003 U.S. invasion of Iraq. Now, am I going too far to say that what you were just describing as far as Israeli policy towards Gaza is verging on genocide?
Well, I would certainly say so. I mean, their policy is to see if they can kill as many Palestinians as possible and make life so miserable for the rest of them that if they could get out, they would. But they've got the borders closed up. You know, Palestinians still value education so very, very much. And even under the most arduous conditions that they have in Gaza, those kids are studying every single day. And when they finally graduate from high school and they make application to try to get a scholarship outside of Gaza and get one, the Israelis won't let them leave. I mean, they are really stuck there, and that's the way the Israeli government wants them. They want them stuck. And then if you look over in the West Bank, what the Israelis are doing there with all the illegal settlements that are just eating up just acre by acre by acre of the remaining lands that were to be the part of the Palestinian state. But from 1948, with the creation of the State of Israel, where the new State of Israel got 51% of what was called the Palestine Mandate, and the Palestinians were to get 49%. Well, that 49% has now dropped to about 25% because of all the illegal settlements, Israeli settlements that have taken Palestinian lands, the apartheid walls that are built on Palestinian lands, but they're built by the Israelis, the incarceration of young kids, of children, over 700 children are in Israeli prison. One of them got out yesterday, Ahed Tamimi, who had been in prison for 8 months for slapping an Israeli soldier. And I would suspect if you had a soldier on your front porch and representing the forces that had already killed one of her cousins and had wounded her brother, and that there might be a little outburst. But
that's important. And I'm so glad that you bring that up, Colonel Wright, that's the part of the story that you don't hear anywhere else. What happened that provoked that young woman to slap that soldier? Shooting her brother, attacking her house, killing a cousin. This is the part of the story. This is where censorship is massive, right?
Indeed it is. I mean, I've been listening all day to various radio and TV things, and they do talk about Ahed being released after slapping a soldier, but there has not been one broadcast all day long that has given any context to it about why that young, at the time, 16-year-old young woman would have dared slapped an Israeli soldier, would have been so furious at that soldier and his buddies being on their property again. And the last time I think they were on the property, they shot members of the family. So there was a very good reason why that young woman was standing up to the oppressive forces of the Israeli military. That town of Nebi Saleh has seen so many horrible things that have happened because the Israeli government purposely sends in the soldiers to make life miserable for all the families that are there.
And just the other thing, everybody's talking about collusion. Did the Trump administration collude with Russia to get elected? Now, there's not much evidence on that, but there are about 15 smoking guns that the Israelis have interfered at every level in U.S. policies, collaborated, colluded. I'm thinking, am I remembering correctly? Didn't Netanyahu address the U.S. Congress and totally sort of intervene in U.S. policies? In U.S. politics?
Oh, indeed. Talk about the commingling of politics between Israel and the United States. I mean, when you have the supporters of the state of Israel buying off the U.S. Congress and essentially buying off the presidency, and it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democratic, they're all bought off by AIPAC and the other groups that blindly support the criminal acts of the state of Israel. And if you dare stand up to the Israeli lobby, you're going to get thrown out of office, as what happened to Cynthia McKinney. Your life is miserable because of the power of AIPAC, the buying power of AIPAC. It's horrific that we call ourselves a democracy, but boy, we're a purchased democracy. That it's the lobbyists that